everybody. Welcome to a Reverse Thieves podcast. My name is Kate.
My name is Alan.
We run ReverseThieves.com, where you can get all of our backlog of podcasts, as well as 3+ blog posts every week. And this is a special episode where we're talking about our plans for the upcoming Otakon 2017.
Where it is Otakon's first time in DC, so it's going to be a really interesting trial run. I mean, one of the other conventions we usually attend, Anime Next, they had a big move recently. And, you know, I feel like every time a convention moves, it changes the con a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this move to DC.
And I'm not sure about the Anime Next space, but I know that the space that Otakon is now occupying in DC is the home of some other conventions, like Awesome Con, I think is the one that goes on there that has already happened. So it's a convention space that's used for that pretty frequently and has big cons. So seems like they're well equipped for it. And hopefully they've maybe learned or asked the Awesome Con staff or tips.
It does seem like con people tend to have a little bit of contact with the rest of the con world. You know, each con a little different on how much connected they are. But yeah, hopefully this won't be too hard a learning curve.
I'm really excited, but also a little trepidatious about the space because I was so used to the previous one that I didn't even have to consult a map very often. I knew by instinct. I knew all the shortcuts. You know, even in the outside area, you kind of knew your way around. So I feel like...
Yeah, like, this is the entrance I used to get in to get in early.
Or, oh, this one's never crowded, but that one is and whatnot.
Or like, oh, I know that, like, nobody goes to the Potbellies at this time. So I run in there for a quick bite to eat, as opposed to that California tortilla, which always has a line like they were giving out free gold.
So it will be a totally new learning curve, and we assume that the space is quite a bit bigger. There's 8 panel rooms, 3 or 4 workshop rooms, and then all the other kinds of spaces that they've had previously. The concerts are within the convention center, so there's a space dedicated only to that, too. So,
and it looked like, just from looking over the preliminary map, that there are a bunch of rooms that they're not using, so they could even expand into those if need be.
And they're also using the connecting hotel, the Marriott, which is where we're staying. It's the first time I think I've stayed at the connecting hotel to a con in a really long time. But first year felt like, all right, why not? Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, plus I feel like, yeah, after a year you have a better layout. So if you find out one of the hotels is like far superior, or like just the one we're staying at is inferior, then at least if we have to walk around, we'll know the area a little better next year.
I am rather excited that I noticed on the map the tunnel from the hotel to the convention center puts you right at Artist Alley.
Ah, so it's made for Kate.
I'm like, this is perfect. I hope I can just sneak right in there pretty frequently. And I saw just in the last day or two, Otakon tweeting that the convention center has Wi-Fi.
So I can put free radio at any time. That's
my absolute priority for this con. And, you know, it's just become this thing that shouldn't be so hard to have. And most conventions are stepping up their game, but it's just a necessity at this point. So it's really great that that's going to be available to everyone. Oh, and the other thing, though, is they have posted, which they totally stealth posted on the forums, that there's going to be bag inspections.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wonder why they were super proud and happy to announce free Wi-Fi, but they kind of mumbled under their breath, bag inspections.
Yeah, it's mostly because if you haven't been paying attention to con drama across the coast to coast, in Expo and some other cons have had massive line delays because of bag inspections. And I thought it was very interesting that, of course, it's forums, and, you know, forums are a way of the past. Not a lot of people use the forums, but certain people use forums still. And in the Otakon forums, yeah, there was just a lot of
grousing.
Yes. And people saying, oh, these things don't make us safer. This is just pageantry. And then other people are like, I didn't know people would be so angry about being safe. And like, so... I hope that, again, that they've kind of learned from other cons, seen what the problems are, making sure that they have enough people doing bag inspections.
I remember the 1 year we went to PAX, it wasn't that big, and they had bag checks. But
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, no, they did. I mean, it was definitely a bottleneck, and it definitely slowed you in. But I feel like there's a difference between the 10 minutes that you waste getting into the con, and you feel like, or like New York Comic Con has them as well.
Yes.
So if you wait 10 minutes, it like passes right out of your brain. You wait an hour and a half, and you angrily take to Twitter and forums, you know, cursing everyone involved.
So. Yeah, and yeah, Comic-Con, it's always fine. It's never a problem, but that's because, again, they have a lot of people doing the checks. So I think that it's just important that they not underestimate the time in which it's going to take, because people are bringing their bags. They have to. Especially a lot of day people who are only there for the day, or I'm sorry, I guess you can't be there for the day because it's always a 3-day pass, but people who are like kind of commuting in, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like people who aren't staying in a hotel, they're going to be carrying stuff.
And if you're a cosplayer, you probably have no place to put anything on your person, so you're definitely going to have a bag plus cosplay repair materials and all that, yeah. So, and then, you know, yeah, there is a lot of potential for it to go wrong. So, hopefully it won't. We shall see.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to come back here on the follow-up podcast of this and have to talk about this again. I hope I can just say, oh, it was fine, they figured it out. It's always just one of those things where sometimes cons don't figure it out until Saturday. So heads up to everyone, prepare accordingly.
Hey Kate, that's so great that we have the first panel slot on Friday.
This is my huge worry, is that somehow I'm going to be prevented from getting to my own panel. I'm going to do everything in my power to get there. Doors open at 8. But yeah, I have this really bad fear about it. And then I'm like, then they're gonna dock us for being late to our panel, and then I'm gonna have to go and yell at people at the panel off. I don't want to do that. I don't want to start my convention that way. So again, I'm worst case scenario.
You don't want to see your picture posted next year. Do not allow this lady in.
This woman is banned.
So let's actually talk about the content of itself, not what could go wrong. And what do you call it? You know.
I feel like we're following internet protocol.
I mean, we're following Alan Mendes protocol. Well, let's do a little Kate protocol
for a while.
One thing I will notice is not any blockbuster guests. Some really solid, good guests. But once again, I feel like no Yoko Kanno, the guy who does Naruto style. Oh my god, your mind is blown by this guy being there. But I mean, some really good production guests, some really good voice acting guests.
Directors,
a bunch of good bands through Aniplex and the Anisong thing. So,
and a bunch of premieres.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. That actually, I think the premieres are the stellar ones. I feel like the guests are good, but the premieres, which they didn't really have that many, like at least definitely last year, maybe the last 2 years, not this year. I mean, some amazing premiere events. I mean, to I would say either rival or perhaps exceed expos.
Yeah, we have the In This Corner of the World, which, you know, we had 2 years ago. Basically, the con guests were talking about that they wanted to make this film, that they were going to make this film, that they were going to do whatever they could to get this to happen. And everybody was really on board for that. And now we finally get to see the results of all of that hard work. It's very, you know, it feels really nice to have that circle.
Al's pro tip, there are two showings of In This Corner of the World. If you don't care about other things, there is a Friday one that is the dub and is kind of the standard edition. But, although probably much harder to get into, there is a Saturday subbed version, and that has the director Masao Maruyama, and is probably like the big deal deluxe edition showing. Don't just go to the Friday one unless you just, oh, I just love dubs, or, you know, or, ooh, I think I'm, you know, I don't have time to wait in line on Saturday, but I really want to see the film. But yeah, don't just go to that one thinking it's the only one, because, you know, the big premiere, like, lavish one is going to be Saturday. And even more shocking, although I think In This Corner of the World is the most heartfelt one, especially talking to the MAPPA staff at Anime Next, like, they really put their heart and soul into that one. But also that day on Saturday, they have the premiere of the new Eureka 7 movie ahead of when it came out. It comes out in Japan at the end of the month.
We're getting it first. It says world premiere.
So yeah, there might have been like one or two super small showings before this point. But yeah, pretty much this is as far as I know, other than some minor little things, this is the premiere. We are seeing it first, which is just like...
with the director in attendance. I mean, yeah, that is, to me, my big priority for the convention.
Oh, yeah, no, without a doubt. My Saturday schedule is so much thinner than it usually is because I'm definitely going to see In This Corner of the World. I'm definitely going to see the Eureka 7 movie. Like, everything else other than, like, interviews is just my priority.
The other really cool kind of second-tier screenings going on are Loop on the Third, the Italian Game. And you mentioned something, Al, about...
So, the first 50 people who are in line for Lupin the Third, the Italian Game, they get exclusive 50th anniversary Lupin t-shirts.
And I think that conflicts with some of these other premieres. So, you know, it's one of those things where they're definitely making people choose.
I will mention that the Lupin the Italian Game movie is a kind of summary movie of basically the plot important episodes of the last Lupin TV series with some new material. And I think a little bit of, like, a little more resolution to some of the characters. But if you've seen the TV series, you've seen about, like, at least, like, 80% of that movie. But once again, exclusive t-shirt. If you're a huge Lupin fan, that might be your priority.
And the other big thing I noticed was the anime Tamago shorts. So we talk about those shorts a lot. It's the 4 experimental shorts where they get studios get funding and they can make original properties. Although I don't want to get into whole, like, different viewpoints on what's original and what's not. But it's trying to lift up some young animators, young directors, writers, things like that. And they're showing the 2016 shorts. That was a really good batch. So, you know, I highly recommend seeing those if you haven't seen them.
And we reviewed them this year, but we had to watch half of them raw because half of them were never subtitled by anybody that I could ever find. So this is your first chance, as far as I can tell, to see all 4 of those shorts subtitled. So if you're kind of interested in a little more experimental, or at least trying to spot some up-and-comers in the anime industry, that's worth going to. And it's an anthology series. I always feel it's a mixed bag, but there's always these 1 or 2 really solid winners.
And I hope that it sets maybe a precedent. I'd love to know that every year I can go to Otakon and see these shorts or something. I feel as though we're on the cusp of them getting a little bit more international exposure. And
well, the only thing that makes me think that might not be the case is one of the guests is like a very key figure in the committee that runs, like, chooses which ones are selected. And he's also one of those guys who's fighting really hard for a living wage in the anime industry, and that's kind of like one of his projects. Like, oh well, if we, you know, get government funding, you know, the projects could be a little more and everybody could get paid a little more, and, you know, maybe, like, be able to eat 3 times a day. Crazy talk.
Sounds like a good dude.
But I'm just curious, a year without him being a guest, would those still be there? But hopefully he has a good enough experience that maybe he sends, even if he doesn't come next year or nobody else from that committee comes next year, they at least send the shorts to Otakon again. And it's not a huge deal, but I'm me, so I just wanted to mention that they have the East Coast, because they just showed it at Anime Expo, but they have the East Coast dub premiere of, they had a OVA for the prologue chapter of the Fate Grand Order anime, and so the dub premiere is at Otakon. Now, you could have seen it at the beginning of the year. It was the New Year special, and we got it an hour after Japan did on Crunchyroll, but if you wanted to see, you know, all the dub actors, that is premiering here as well.
And what is sort of becoming standard, I think, for Otakon is to have a bunch of Sunrise guests, a lot of times producers and maybe some other people. And this year we have a lot of Gundam related people, and including the scriptwriter for Gundam Wing and Frozen Teardrop.
Yes, Kate.
Well, I guess he's not the scriptwriter, he's the writer of that.
Kate, I'm going to share my crazy conspiracy theory right here. If it's not true, realize that this is one very thin step away from tinfoil hat territory. But considering Gundam Wing was so huge in the United States, I mean, not that Japanese fans were like, Gundam Wing, we never watched that, kind of more like a G Gundam. But since Gundam Wing was so huge and they have that writer there,
and there's a Gundam Wing panel by Sunrise,
I just think it would be crazy town if they announced that, like, the next big project was Gundam Wing Frozen Teardrop is getting animated.
Or an OVA or something.
Yeah, but, like, they announced a Gundam Wing Frozen Teardrop thing here at Otakon. Like, not in Japan, at Otakon. That would be like...
I feel as though that isn't the craziest thing, because there is a Gundam Wing panel, an official one, not just a fan-run one. So that makes me kind of wonder what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, and it's not like a generic Gundam panel. No. It was very specifically, let's talk about Wing, baby, just you and me. I've got all the Gundam boys and the mecha.
And then beyond that, we have a Gundam The Origin premiere of, I forget which episode, like episode 4, I think, the dub, which you might not super care about, but if you read the description, not only is it the premiere of the dub and some of the voice actors will be there, but the producer and other Sunrise people will be there answering questions after it as well.
Because usually they have it and it's just the voice actors, but yeah, this time they have a little more of the Japanese production staff, which is, yeah, definitely intriguing, especially at a high profile. I think they're also airing a few episodes of Thunderbolt, but I mean, that's definitely a lower tier of Wawa Zawa.
And maybe it's because there's a few Gundam guests in attendance, but there seems to be an awful lot of Gundam panels, just fan-run panels, this year.
I should have submitted my glorious Gals of Gundam panel.
I think it would have been accepted. I think there might be an overabundance of Gundam panels, but I can kind of understand, simply because if you have guests in attendance sort of in theme, so it kind of works.
So, man, is the secret guest going to be Rabukio Takahashi this year?
I was wondering about that too. Because she's just gonna be around. She's not a guest.
No, she's just gonna be hanging out.
Yeah.
I already did like a month's worth of Rene strips, so I can just hang out here. No, because I love Rumikio Takahashi. Let us not mistake, she is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, mangaka. But there are two Rumikio Takahashi panels.
On the same day!
Within like two or three hours of each other.
Yeah,
and once again,
really confused.
I love Rumikio Takahashi, but you really need two Rumikio Takahashi panels. I'm pretty sure you could have gone this Rumikio Takahashi panel, we keep this Rumikio Takahashi panel, gets rejected. Which, before we talk about any other panels, will lead me into my bigger complaint, which is Otakon is possibly the fiercest competition to get in panels. You will see people that will get their panels auto-accepted at any other convention being like, yeah, I submitted 6 panels and I got one.
Or none. I know a lot of people this year who didn't get any.
You know, you'll see like minor fan celebrities, like, you know, the people from Anime World Order who aren't Daryl, be like, yeah, I submitted a bunch of panels and I only got one or none.
As far as I know, I believe Gerald and Clarissa only got one.
And so, it is not like they are super desperate to fill their schedule. They are turning down panels left and right. And that's why, like, two panels, like, super annoyed me. Because, hey, at least Rumikio Takahashi is on topic. And before you go, I'm, like, pretty lenient. There are, like, a bunch of, like, cosplay panels that, like, you're like, oh, like, that doesn't immediately spring to mind why that's, you know, anime related, but it's cosplay. Or, like, there's some art panels and stuff with, like, a minimum amount of lip service. Like, just mentioning anime, you can be a totally acceptable panel, and I have no problem with them being there. And there are a bunch of cool Japanese cultural panels.
Well, those are all on topic.
And there, yeah, those are all not anime and manga specific, but super on topic for the convention. But there's one gray area one, which I totally understand why I would. There's one that's like running a Star Wars RPG. And at first, this was going to be my third panel, but then it's an American voice acting guest. And I know they always ask the guests if they want to do any panels. So if a guest wants to run, you know, how to DM a Star Wars panel, you let them run a Star Wars panel. And they're an American voice actor for anime, so it's very tangential. But I can't blame Otakon one iota for putting that on the schedule. What I can complain about is, one, there is a My Little Pony conspiracy theory panel about, like, weird My Little Pony conspiracy theories. And I'm not some brony hater. I am currently watching the current season of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. But that panel has no reason to be on the schedule. It is only about My Little Pony. Like, there's a Steven Universe panel, but at least that panel talks about the anime references in Steven Universe, because Steven Universe references Utena, and it references Initial D, and it references a bunch of anime. So that's on the borderline, but it still makes it an acceptable cut. But this is just My Little Fucking Pony. No, 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 no. You are turning down dozens of premium panels? That has no place on the schedule at all. And then, equally annoying, there is a How to Cosplay Disney panel. And there are a lot of cosplay panels. And I am sure, even more importantly, there are a bunch of cosplay panels that got rejected by people who have on point, on convention cosplay panels. And one of those got kicked off for this Disney one that could be run at any nerd convention. No, that also has no place in the Otakon schedule. And blah.
I mean, I totally get you, Al, because I feel like especially if you're somebody who runs panels and knows other people running panels, you do know that it is so tough to make the Otakon cut, to like get a panel there, no matter who you are, whether you've run one before or you've never run one at all. I mean, I feel like they're pretty good about spreading it around sometimes, depending. And so just the idea that, you know, that people who are running anime and manga and cultural panels are not getting to because of those.
And the person running the My Little Pony panel is the Manly Battleships guy, who I have no problem with. But he has run panels in the past, so it's not even the excuse of, oh, well, we want to give new people a shot. Because that guy has run dozens of panels at Otakon before. So it's not like it's like some newbie who they just wanted to, you know, hear their voice. I don't know anything about the Disney cosplay people, but that My Little Pony panel doesn't have that excuse either.
And it doesn't even have the, you know, sometimes they'll let panels through if they're on theme with the convention, but this year it's spies. Maybe that's it! I mean, I think that panel is called The Equestrian Candidate, so maybe it got through just by having a title that references
I should have put my totally friggin' spies panel in this year?
Yes!
Ah, why didn't I? My Man from U.N.C.L.E. panel could have finally debuted at Otakon.
Well, and it's not as if My Little Pony is actually about spies. I don't know if you know that, guys, but it's not about pony spies.
Ah! One day I'll be able to run the prisoner paddle with Patrick McGowan.
So, yeah. So let's calm down. Let's move on. We cannot change the schedule. So let's talk about some panels that we are excited about.
The Avengers panel with the one with Emma Peel, not with the superheroes.
Okay, can we now move on?
Yes.
Okay. So, first of all, the most important panel that's happening is New Anime for Older Fans, which is happening, as we said, at 9 a.m. on Friday morning.
So everybody get their tickets on Thursday so they can be in bright and early on Friday. And so I'm not talking to, like, three people.
I mean, you know, the only other problem is that we're competing with the dog panel. Dogs in anime and manga and video games sounds vaguely familiar to me.
I swear.
Why?
I remember some, like, super smart lady and guy did that panel last year.
Yeah, I just, I wonder if they're running it again.
Who knows?
I'm mildly annoyed by that, but at the same time, I want to check it out because obviously I love dogs, but it's during my own panel, which I only have one of, so it's
like, is it also slightly weird because it's more about dog training?
Or it's unclear, but it's run by someone who is a dog trainer or works with dogs or knows real facts about dogs and is somehow comparing that to what have we seen in anime. I'm not sure, but I don't get to go, so somebody report back. Very important for me to hear.
So what you're thinking is it's just gonna be about weed and all those like fighting dog shows.
It's like, can this happen? And please report if there are actual dogs at the panel, because then they beat my panel. I also noticed on the schedule that there's quite a few shoujo panels, both anime and manga, which I was really glad to see, because I feel as though that's kind of one of the lesser topics that I, besides magical girls, I feel like you see quite a bit of that, but beyond that, there's like a couple of different shoujo romance panels, there's the shoujo and abuse panel, and
there is a introduction to Jose panel, which is not Jose, it's not shoujo, but you know, they're at least related categories.
There's like shoujo you should know.
You know, it's weird because I feel like it kind of also feels like a little bit of the no manga panels at Otakon restriction, like shadow restriction has been lifted at least a little bit. And I feel like, you know, That's nice to see. I mean, if it only gets in shoujo, that's fine. At least there is, like, some amount of manga stuff on the panel schedule. Because I feel like, for, like, the last few years, Otakon has been so, so anime heavy. And, like, the only manga panels have been, like, if Vertical or some other manga company, their industry panels.
And speaking of magical girls, there's a slew of magical girl panels. There's a number of Sailor Moon panels. And then there's a History of Magical Girls panel. That's the one I know Gerald and Clarissa from Anime World Order are running.
Yeah, I mean, once again, while I did complain about the so many Rukio Takahashi panels, I feel like Sailor Moon is just so, like, in a renaissance phase that, like, if there's, like, three of those, that's fine, because that's, like, the hot thing. Plus, I feel like most of them had, like, a different angle to Sailor Moon.
Yeah, they seem to be taking on different aspects of it.
So, once again, I think I'm a pretty reasonable guy overall, despite with the psychotic ranting before I have indicated.
I think so too, Al.
Thank you.
Help me. Also, I thought it was interesting that there is a Shinto shrine. It's actually in the Marriott, and they're doing ceremonies there and also teaching about Shinto, and there's an actual either priest or priestess, I can't remember, but somebody official. And they're also running some panels about Shintoism and anime and things like that.
Yeah, no, that seems really something that's a strong thing to look into.
But wait, you haven't said which panels you're excited about, Al.
Oh,
is there any, like, maybe one or two?
Oh, I did notice some really interesting Japanese cultural panels. There's one just about Japanese heraldry.
What is that? What does that mean?
Coats of arms and, like,
signatures
of clans and, like, clan armor and stuff like that.
And this is about real historical.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And there's one about writing Renga poetry. So, I mean, both, you know, not like the first things you think of when you think about Japanese culture. Oh, there's also, obviously, inspired by Your Name, but there's a panel on how to make those little bracelets that are so key and critical.
Oh, that you also put on swords or?
Yeah, like the weaved ones.
Oh, yeah. So there's a workshop,
yes.
Right? Yes.
I wasn't going to go to that one, but I thought it was just worth mentioning. But, like, I feel like, once again, to praise the panel scheduling, there's some really interesting Japanese cultural panels this year. I think there's also a redux of, or maybe done by different, I didn't look into it, but there is another Japanese poetry panel. So, you know, there's some really interesting, solid Japanese cultural panels this year. And like you said, the shrine being open there, and I'm sure those will be some good panels. So, you know, there's still a lot to love about the Otakon panel scheduling.
I mean, yes. I think those panels that we mentioned, you know, shouldn't be there, but there are 8 panel rooms for 3 days and they're, you know, full schedule. So they got it like 99% right or whatever. So as far as choosing now, you know, not every panel is going to come off the way people hope, but that's another discussion.
You could then attend the workshop of panelist boot camp. The last thing I wanted to mention about panels was the absence of a panel, the one that got removed from the schedule. There's supposed to be a 1-hour panel with Masao Maruyama, and that one got made into a panel about the writer for Gundam Wing. And I only bring that up because I feel like every year it becomes more and more apparent to me and a lot of other people, Masao Maruyama is not going to be around forever. And every year I feel more and more people saying it, but I think it's worth noting. He is a really interesting, friendly, relatively open guy who, you know, I feel like has really not only given a lot to the Japanese anime industry, but I feel like he's really reached out his hand to the American fandom. He's been coming to Otakon for a number of years. He's always made strides to bring over awesome stuff for us. I'm like 90% sure the reason that In This Corner of the World is premiering at Otakon is because he brought it over here.
Well, they played it at Expo.
Okay, but also here. So, and he's definitely an older guy, and once again, he's not getting any younger, he's not getting any healthier, so I'm sure that I'm speaking to the choir, to 90% of the people listening to this, but for those other 10%, you should really check him out while he's here, while you still have the chance, because 5-10 years down the line, you're possibly not going to have that chance. Even if he's, you know, still alive and working, he might just not have the health or energy to come over to Otakon anymore. So, you know, do it while you can.
All right. On that note, see you guys all at Otakon. Definitely come to the panel. If you can't make it to the panel, you know, make an effort to come find us anywhere in the hall. Our schedule is up and we're on Twitter. We're going to be active on social media the whole weekend. I hope that if you're not coming, you know, that we can give you some great coverage. And of course, we'll do a follow-up podcast about Otakon as well as plenty of blog posts.
See you there.